You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
I feel like this title begs a lot of questions that are never answered. I trapped the devil. My first question is, well, presuming that you did actually trap the devil, how exactly did you trap the devil?
Yeah, that's quite a task.
Yeah, the movie never even vaguely addresses. Like, you'd think that this would be, in the context of new people coming into the scenario, the first thing. Okay, so run me through this step by step of the timeline.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come up. This is the latest IFC Midnighter horror film directed and written by Josh Lobo. It was actually, I have a lot of friends who were involved in the production level on this, like Scott Weinberg and AJ Bowen, who also plays one of the stars here. It's a smaller horror movie, like a lot of IFC Midnighters are, definitely sort of a low budget thing. We've got, oh my goodness, Scott Poythress, I'm going to say is how you pronounce his name, who plays Steve. And he has locked himself all up in his big old house that apparently is a family home. We see this when his brother and sister-in-law, played by A.J. Bowen and Susan Burke, show up to visit him at Christmas time and are like, where is he? And what's going on? Why are the windows all newspapered over? Mm-hmm. And he's like, immediately, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's my house too. You can't tell me.
Not a welcome home for Christmas scenario.
No.
He's
obviously had psychological issues before though. Yeah. They seem like they're familiar with that. Like he has been a problem before, but and AJ Bowen's character of Matt is trying to negotiate his way kindly through what is probably an onset of mental illness.
For sure. And it's very quickly established that like, they're somewhat estranged. He hasn't really been involved in his life since he's had some sort of troubles. And this is like the reach out. It's like, we're going to do this thing. Although it's weird that it's done without a phone call.
Yeah. Or maybe it was. And
yeah,
who didn't
knows?
Answer.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems like there are many phone calls in this that not be people reaching out unless you count the devil.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to be too hype on answering that phone.
No.
Every time it rings, he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. But eventually he reveals to them, okay, so here's the deal. I trapped the devil. Like he's in my basement with a bunch of locks. And of course they're like, oh God, he has gone completely over the deep end. And he brings him down there where they can hear a man's voice on the other side of the door begging to be set free. Mm. And they're like, fuck, we got to call the police. What are we going to do? But the wife has an experience where she's down there and the guy's voice kind of changes.
She hears, she feels and hears something.
Like, something's fucked up here.
Yeah. And this movie actually, in this first act, it does a really good job of like their reaction. Because, like, you think, like, oh, you got to call police right away. But then when you think about, like, it's your family, it's his brother. It's like you want to try to get the story straight before you involve the authorities. You know, you want to try to help them as much as you can.
They don't want to send the brother right to jail or anything. And they want to figure out how to finesse this as best as possible.
And I think it's played very believable, like, the way it escalates. Eventually, like with all movies, you have to take a leap of faith. But, like, it escalates in a way that's, like, subtle by subtle, where, like, you believe that these people are reacting in a realistic way with this. Especially once the wife hears some funny business.
Yeah. Which is the last thing we can really say without getting into, like, because there's a long period of this movie that not a lot really is happening. It's really just them discussing what are we going to do and not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
And him gradually, like, the phone keeps ringing and we don't hear what's on the other side, but you get the impression that he's hearing a voice that's possibly the devil. The television keeps going on and off and showing an image of a woman, sort of like all staticky and hard to make out.
You know, and that's another thing. I'm saying the things I liked about it because overall, like, I'm kind of so-so on it, not in love with it. But one good thing they do is they never clearly explain or like flesh out what his trauma was that caused him to have this break. And they do a pretty good job of balancing, is this the devil or is this
or is he crazy?
Yeah, and they do a decent job of that. And I kind of enjoy that they never really delve too far into like his trauma. You just know there is.
I'm mixed on that, really.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like if this movie had ended differently, perhaps, like, because it does end with sort of a, like, it makes its decision one way or the other what it was
very much
down
so,
there. And I feel like if it had found a way to leave it completely, you still don't know, I would have been a little more interested. But because they make that decision, it makes a lot of stuff in the movie make me just kind of shrug and go, okay, well, so it was just that, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, like, well, you know, and I don't know how much of a spoiler, because early on when
I'm trying really hard to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, but when the wife hears, like, the voice change and stuff, like, they still kind of play it as, like, is she just imagining this, or is it a real thing? But it does the thing that I hate in movies, it's done in, like, Evil Dead movies a lot. I just watched the Evil Dead remake, where, like, the thing is trying to convince you that it's not a bad thing. And yeah. before it's done convincing you, it switches to the bad thing.
It's, yeah, like, it's like, why did you even play this game?
You had her. Like, why? Yeah, like...
You could have wrapped this up a while ago.
Yeah, just keep doing the begging thing. Yeah, no, and
devil's got a devil.
I guess, know. Yeah, the devil, he can't help but being like, gotcha. He can't just, like, let it play out. Yeah, it's... And, you know, and as I was saying that, maybe it's not a thing I like about it, because this movie feels kind of shabby. Like, I think it's a pretty well-directed movie, but the script seems so, like... There's big chunks of it where they're going for, like, atmosphere and mood, but I think a lot because they don't have much else to do.
There's no money is what it feels like.
Yeah.
This is micro-budgeted.
For sure. And I will say, it looks very good for the budget. Like, it's well shot, a lot of it. But there was one point where a character, the husband, says, let's say you do have the devil down there. This is early on. Like, what is the plan? Like, what's next?
Right.
And that's kind of like the question of this movie.
That's a question I kept asking myself. Well, like, A, once again, how did you even trap them in the first place if it is the devil? And B, so what is your long-term plan here?
Yeah.
Because the devil is immortal. I'm not really sure what you were hoping to accomplish by trapping him in your basement, because eventually you're going to die and he's going to get out. And for him, that was like a microcosm and a pin drop in time.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you really achieve?
Exactly. And that's kind of sadly a metaphor for this whole movie in general is like, what is this movie saying? What's the scary, the thematic thing we're going towards? And it kind of just like limps along until it ends. And it starts off with such a strong premise and it's very atmospheric and I'm digging it. And just slowly, like, every 10 minutes or so keeps going, and it's not really elevating the stakes or changing or getting deeper in some ways or not explaining stuff enough. Or even if you're keeping it mysterious, it's not keeping me engaged enough where I'm like, it's just kind of like withers.
It definitely wants to play with that technique of leaving the audience wondering, well, I wonder if he's just crazy or if there really is something down there. But the problem is it shows its hand in a way that the audience sees way too soon.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, just waiting for this to play out. You're like, so they're talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about it.
And also very weirdly, like, leaving one person alone. Like, if this guy's so intent on keeping this devil trapped, he's leaving these two people who he just dropped this bombshell on all by themselves without thinking they might go down there and try to get this guy out of here. Like, he's just like, oh, it'll be fine, which is
not a good plan.
It's not good. Yeah. It kind of goes to like my thing is like, there's not a real plan here for this movie or for this guy. It's just like happening. And there's a point where he takes his brother up to like his room or his like ideas about what he's doing by keeping this devil trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it does, I can't believe it, but it's like the strings across newspapers, stringing things together, which by this point is such a trope. You feel like you can't do that without kind of getting a chuckle. You know, it's already been memed from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's like, that's like kind of, it's like a cliche. I feel like we've passed. And I was like, really? We're doing like this in this movie? Like,
there's another odd thing here. Like, you said, you spoke of like he had some sort of trauma, and the movie never really deeply addresses it other than you assume his family members or someone in his family died. And one can only assume from a later sequence where someone sees on the television an image of somebody we've not even seen before, like an older person, and he has a reaction to it instead of that woman that you can kind of barely see. You're like, okay, so that must have been his wife or something like that.
And he has a vision, like, a long sequence, like a long vision, like a dreamlike thing that's happening.
Which is Jocelyn Donahue, who's sort of a scream queen.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that, yeah. And that's what's frustrating about this movie is, like, that dream sequence he has is creepy, and it's scary, and it's, like, it's effective, but I don't know why it's in here. Like, it's just, here's this creepy dream sequence. And, like, okay, that was creepy and scary, but, like, how does it tie together with everything?
It doesn't build to it efficiently. It just kind of drops it.
Yeah, it's here all of a sudden.
Yeah, it felt like the movie needed more, and once again, this problem might have been with the micro budget, it needed more of a sort of ramping up of hallucinatory elements. But this is really the first thing we've seen in the whole film, like, right before we get into the third act starting to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so feels like the devil should have probably played this trick some time ago. I don't know if this was, in fact, the devil. And the third act is certainly there's a little opening bookend that shows sort of like what's going on at right before the end of the third act with some other characters who come in. So then we get to see that play out, and then it evolves into a certain degree of like, oh, here's the violence you came to a horror movie for. That is, you know, I guess is mildly ironic violence type situation.
Kind of.
And it's one of those that, once again, would have been more effective, I think, if either A, they had left it completely like open-ended, or B, it was the other thing.
And the thing is, I really disliked the ending. It's not a twist, really. It's just like the reveal of what is happening with it all.
Yeah.
But it was like such a classic, like, horror imagery thing, but not classic. I'm like, oh, this is classic. Like, it's kind of like I've seen this 1,000 times before. And it's like, ugh. It's like frustrating. Like, it's... I'm dipping into like spoiler territory, so I don't want to like go on about what it's hard to describe it like vaguely, but yeah, it's aggravating. It's just like, oh god, like I watch this whole thing and it ends with this.
We're on exactly the same page with that. I promise you.
Yeah.
Like that very ending shot. I was like,
yeah, exactly. It's a big sigh.
And it's not for lack of trying. Once again, like I said, it's interesting that there are these people who can put together these micro-budget films. I know that Bowen and Donahue are both very good friends of the whole crew who put this thing together. So this feels like more of a sort of labor of love, helping out their friend, who I get the impression that this was a, let's see, for Josh Lobo, I believe this is the first feature film that he made.
I looked him up and I think it's his first
feature. It is. His first feature that he wrote or directed previously. He's been like an editor, producer, art department on things, but this, yeah. And so I get the idea. It's like, let's help our buddy make his movie. And those things tend to be about at this level where you're like, hey, it's a promising start, but it's nothing anybody's going to come back to, refer back to and go like, yeah, have you seen that movie?
Yeah. it's sadly forgettable. Like, and the thing is, I don't want to like shit on it too hard, because I do think that there's real talent here in the filmmaking, because there are sequences that are like, it's not like amateur hour. You know, when you see some indie horrors that somehow make it above it, or like festival circuit horror movies, it seems very like stitched together, like amateur kind of like, oh, I just really want to make a movie. This seems like there's true skill in the filmmaking here. It just didn't quite come together.
Yeah, it still has that degree of, this feels more of a resume to put on James Wan's desk than it does a finished horror film in and of itself.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, you see what we did here with this? Like, give us a little money and a little more time to develop our script out, and we could
maybe
do something.
Get something special there. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Alan, what are your final thoughts on I Trap the Devil?
It could be a budgetary thing. It's one of those movies that starts off with a great premise and it's shot well and it piqued my interest right away. And I was like, oh, wow, this could be like a cool thing. And then slowly as the movie goes on, it just kind of becomes more dull and then gets into some like very typical tropes that happen a lot in these types of movies. And it ends in a way that you completely expect and you're underwhelmed by, which is a bummer. Like, I'm pretty torn out. I don't want to give like a super low rating, because this is a certain type of horror fan. This is like comfort food. You throw it on and you'll be like relatively entertained by it. A lot of indie horror people involved with this. Like, I like that this movie exists. I'll put it that way. I like that there's still like an avenue for these type of like creative outputs, but I have to go 5.5, 6, 6, 6 out of 10 trap devils, I guess.
Yeah, there's some interesting like visual ideas going on here, but not a lot of great script ideas. The basic premise as a start, I think you said before we started, wow, what a solid little short film this would have made.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. But it is not enough. There's just not enough ideas here to stretch it out to a feature-length film. And it definitely feels like one of those sort of, I don't know, I guess it'll end this way type of things. I there was a point I was like, despite really admiring the way it looks, ended up being kind of bored with the whole thing, mm-hmm. and left me with a lot of points where I felt like they just didn't explain some things at all that were necessary to be explained for the audience to have the faintest idea what was going on with any of the stuff surrounding the characters. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10 inexplicably blindfolded wives.
Yeah.
Because what was that about?
Yeah, what is that?
There was a whole thing where, like, she's blind. It's like a hallucination with the wife being, presumably ex-wife being blindfolded. Where are you? I can't find you. What was that?
Where is that from? Like, what?
What did that have to do with anything? Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know.
It looks scary, right?
It looks scary. Sure, that's so, good.
Yeah,
that's a thing. That's maybe the audience will envision their own thing. They can tell their own story. Now, well, that's okay if we have more to go on.
You got to meet us at least a quarter of the way there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.